With Winifred Robinson.
Hello, welcome to Radio 4's Consumer Programme. Today, the widening gap between the real cost of care and what councils and self-funders are paying. The latest ideas to persuade people to buy electric cars. The smoker's really desperate to give up.
It's as if the nerves are packing up, so it's a constant burning, and that's due to the diabetes and the smoking combined.
If you carry on, Oliver, what will it mean for your health?
In the end, it will just mean amputation of the legs.
We'll hear the best ways to go about stopping smoking. And houseplants are trendy again, so who's buying them this time?
Everyone comes in here. Houseplants know no bounds. We sell a lot of succulents. They're foolproof.
Can you kill a succulent? Are you a killer or a keeper of houseplants? Email us, please, youandyours at bbc.co.uk. On social media, use the hashtag youandyours, or you can send a text message to 84844. Care home fees for people funding themselves could rise by between 6 and 10% by the time the new national living wage comes into force in April. That prediction's being made by a company called Valuing Care. It's a professional care home fees negotiator, and it works with people who fund themselves, with councils and with the NHS. Valuing Care says it's already getting letters from people living in care homes and their families reporting big fee increases. We've had letters like that too. Sue got in touch because the care home looking after her mother has just put its fees up by 10%.
My mum is 103 and has been living in a care home since 2011. She went into a home because she'd been completely independent up until then, but she started having falls, so we wanted to get somewhere safe for her.
What sort of care does your mum need?
Well, she's not got dementia. She's fairly with it most of the time. But as she is bedridden, she does need feeding and sort of personal care. But the medical care that she needs is not vast. She does have skin problems, which she occasionally needs creams applied. Apart from that, and having hearing aids put in, it's not really nursing care, it's more personal care.
Is your mum funding herself?
Completely, yes. We signed a contract with the home which said the fees would be reviewed annually, which they have been, but they have gone up by nearly 10% this last year, from last year's to this year's.
So what was it costing you, and what will it cost you now?
When we first started, I think it was around £55,000 per annum.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Not as much as it is now. It's £77,000 per annum.
Gosh. How long will your mother's money last before it runs out at that rate?
It's difficult to tell. She has got savings, but they are disappearing fast, and we're having to sort of move investments around to cover it.
How did the care home justify this year's rise, which is a sharp one, isn't it? 10%?
Yeah, very nearly 10%, but they just said it was to cover continuing costs, but didn't really give any explanation. So I did write to them and object to it and say, please, could you give me more information as to what the money is going on? And I had a reply at the beginning of January saying they'd come back to me within a month to address my complaint, but they haven't responded further than that as yet.
What is the home like where she is?
It's a nice looking home, but I feel the standards have gone down over the time she's been in there.
In what way?
Just, it doesn't seem quite so clean. The food, I know Mum's old and her taste buds won't be good, or particularly good, but she does complain a lot about the food, and having seen some of the meals that are served, she's probably right. And she does always say that because she's fed in bed, the food is always cold, which upsets her.
Sue, talking about her mother, well, we asked Ray Harp from Valuing Care to look into her case and see how much Sue's mother should be paying. His organisation, as I said, advises councils and self-funders on getting value for money from care homes. It also does mystery shopping to compare prices for the self-funders and for the people paid for by the local authorities. Ray, you've looked into what Sue's mother is paying. How does it compare with what the council pays for a place in the very same home?
Well, we've looked at the analysis of that home to see how much it would be if we was to negotiate the fees. We haven't spoken to the council to find out how much they are actually paying, but we believe the fee should be around about £710 per week for nursing care.
So how does that compare then with what Sue's mum pays?
Well, normally you would expect a private individual to pay probably about 20 to 30% more. That's the sort of going rate in the market. So you would think that normally it would be around about £900 per week. On top of that, the main differences that it could be down to is additional services or for additional care. But from what Sue is saying, it doesn't look like there are those additional services there.
So you calculate that the cost of care in that home is about £700 a week, and that's probably what they're charging the council. And you've built in then a subsidy for the self-funder to be passing on to the local authority of about £200. And you think she's still paying way over the odds?
Yes, we do. Normally, we do find that the amount that the council pay will be lower, and that could be because the profit levels are lower for that case, or it may just be covering the costs. And you would expect some self-funder cost to pick up that cost. But overall, even above that, it's a significant amount.
Now, the people who own and run the home told Sue that her mother's fees were going up because of the living wage. Is that the case here, do you think?
We're getting a lot of calls about the living wage at the moment. If you think about the living wage in its entirety, the rate is going up from £6.70 to £7.20. So that means even if every staff member was on the minimum wage, that would be an increase of about 7.5%. So even that doesn't cover the 10% difference. As you said earlier, we do mystery shopping, and we've done a number of looks at job adverts in the area. And the area, on average, and obviously we don't know exactly for this home, but they are generally about £7.50, which is already above the national living wage. There may be some knock-on effect, but you would not expect it to be anywhere near this level.
The fees in Sue's mother's case have risen from £55,000 a year when she joined the home in 2011 to £77,000 this year. Now, Sue says her mother's care needs have not altered over that period. Does the home have to justify those rises or not?
Well, they did sign a contract, and the contract says that they can put up with the fees by a reasonable amount. The issue is what is reasonable, and unfortunately, when you've signed a contract like this, you do leave yourself open for that position. We believe that the inflation on that bed would be around about 15% over that time compared to the 40% that is currently being charged.
Ray Hart from Value and Care, thank you. Well, we asked the Care Minister, Alistair Burt, to talk about this, but he wasn't available today. His department said care fees are set by providers and those commissioned by councils are ultimately for negotiation between the commissioners and the providers, taking account of local circumstances and the needs of users. But Martin Green will talk to us. He's the Chief Executive of Care England, so he represents the care homeowners, and he's been listening to all that's been said. Martin, homes are now using the living wage as an excuse to raise fees. But Value and Care has calculated that 2/3 of homes already pay staff the national living wage or more. So that's sharp practice, isn't it, using it as an excuse when it's not really the case?
Well, hello, Winifred.
Hello.
It certainly isn't sharp practice. And what people don't seem to realise is that you also have to maintain differentials. And when the rest of the society then has a leap in wages, you've got to then make sure that your staff are paid more in order to attract them. And we do have some significant issues around attracting staff to a very difficult and indeed complex job.
So you're suggesting that if you can earn the new living wage in Tesco, you'll go to Tesco, you won't stay at a care home?
Well, it's obviously going to produce competition for staff within that local area.
OK, it's hard to think of any other business, isn't it, that could hike charges like this. And we heard that Sue signed a contract agreeing that the fees would be reviewed each year and that the rises would be reasonable. You're preying on people's vulnerability here, aren't you? Hiking fees, in their case, by 40% over 5 years.
Well, I don't think we are playing on people, because the reality is that these are very vulnerable and very sick people. And when Sue talked about her mother needing personal care but not medical care, the reality is the reason her mother needs all that personal care is because of medical conditions. You know, the fact that somebody is bedbound means that they need a lot of support. And this is not an easy job. And it certainly is not a job that can be done without having a number of staff.
But £77,000 a year.
£77,000 a year is a lot of money when you have to pay it. But actually, when you equate that to an hourly fee, and remember, people are being looked after 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, not one-to-one, they're not, are they? I mean, there'll be times when her mum's asleep and there'll be one member of staff to how many of them? Two, three?
Well, the issue is her mother needs constant support, and the reality is that if her mother is ill, or if her mother has an emergency, or if her mother needs to go to the lavatory, then somebody has to be there to be able to facilitate that.
It's hard enough, isn't it, having to self-fund without being made to subsidise the council places as well. Shouldn't you just refuse to do that? It's wrong, isn't it?
I think it is very wrong that councils are allowed to get away with paying significantly less than the true costs of care.
The care minister's department told us, that's for local negotiation. If all your members said no, we're no longer going to do that, it would stop, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't, because, of course, you have to realise this is very geographical. If you're in the northeast of England, where there are not significant amounts of property equity in people's hands, the reality there is that the only organisation that commissions care is the local council. So in a situation like that, you're in a position where you either have to close and you don't have a service, or indeed you have to be forced to take that very low level of fee. So this is not a real market, and it's quite disingenuous for ministers to wash their hands of this, because there is a question which I think everybody should ask, which is why, when people have care needs, suddenly, often because they've got significant medical conditions, the government decides that those medical conditions have been recategorised as social care, and then they have to pay for them.
Thanks so much for coming on. That was Martin Green, the Chief Executive of Care England. And we're going to be talking about the cost of care in our phone-in tomorrow. We'd like to know what you've done to try to avoid crippling home care fees. Email us now, please, youandyours@bbc.co.uk. Now, houseplants are having a moment. The Garden Centre Association recorded a rise in...